Hank Mobley on tenor sax, leading his band with a nifty little tune called A Slice of the Top. I always thought it was a slice off the top, but this tune is called A Slice of the Top. He recorded this, excuse me, in March of 1966, but it wasn't released until 1979 on the Blue Note label. So I'm delighted that we touched base with him, even though he's not with us anymore. But I'm glad that, I like reaching back for the old tunes because some of them are just so perfect. Recorded so beautifully, and they have long since been put away when people should be hearing them and enjoying them again. All right, so what are we going to be talking about today? The madness in Washington, if it's possible to say that is getting even more maddening. Well, it's going in its natural direction. You have a bunch of really messed up people. And it raises a very fundamental question. What is a nation supposed to do when you see this kind of craziness going on, unabated? Nobody seems to be in control of it. Nobody could bring a sense of logic or order, and all of the disorder is in the heart of the government. I mean, what do you do? Do you appoint somebody to take over for a while? Do you declare the current leadership null and void and causing more trouble than it ought to? And besides which, it now seems that the leaderships is smack in the middle of a crisis. And it seems also that nobody is in charge of solving the crisis. It's just, we'll just keep going on from day to day, not knowing where we're going, not knowing what will happen, not knowing who's responsible, not knowing even who's in charge. What do you do? Well, that's where we are as a nation. We are in a situation where we don't know what's going on. We don't know who's in charge. According to the news today, it seems that part of the responsibility of leadership is now in the hands of one Rudolph Giuliani. Is he in charge? Who elected him? Who put him in charge of running things and solving problems? And he's suddenly, he is the president's counselor. Okay, so you're the president's counselor, you're the president's lawyer, let's say. The president has hired you for no sensible reason to be his lawyer. Okay. Now, how does that entitle you to operate, to navigate the highest levels of authority in this government? And you're issuing orders, you're taking over. You're running things for all intents and purposes. So it's not clear who's in charge. What is the order of command? This is a very dicey situation, and we better get it solved as quickly as possible, because it seems everybody and nobody is in charge. I tell you, people who have been relating to this country with a sense of reverence and sanctity must be appalled at where we are today. So that's my first question. We are approaching the 2020 elections, and people will be talking about their campaigns. I want to know, are there going to be changes in election law? Because I think there ought to be. And this is a good example. What we're experiencing now is a good example. You elect somebody, they're no good. They're causing much more headaches and trouble than they're worth. Like we have Donald Trump. It is universally agreed that the United States is lacking logical and cogent leadership. We're not asking for perfection. We just want somebody sane. And we want somebody who kind of gets it as to what a president is supposed to be and what a president is supposed to do. He hasn't passed that test. His behavior is becoming more and more erratic, and people are walking around wringing their hands as if they don't know what to do. So I'm proposing that we put down in writing, that is, this government ought to do that, have in writing, and have it ratified by Congress, agreed upon, as to what will be the standard, the expected standard of behavior of a president and a vice president and anybody else you want to throw in. And we should have a clause where a mechanism exists to just throw people out when they fail so spectacularly as this president is failing. Now, we know that this president is operating with certain deficits. He came in with them, and they've gotten worse. And nobody has moved on this question. What do you do when the person who is heading up the country has lost his marbles? Do we just wait out the rest of his term and hope and pray that nothing really, really bad happens? Is that the way we're running a country now? Or should we have, from the minute a person declares his or her candidacy, somewhere along the line should be scheduled an intensive screening process to find out whether this person has a sound mind? And that is as basic as it gets, as far as I see it. We should know way up front whether, as a candidate even, you have the capacity to lead. And the capacity to lead includes having a sound mind. If you demonstrate the behaviors that Trump so far has demonstrated, and he started showing these behaviors very early, we are duty-bound to kick that person out the door. You know, could you imagine you going in for surgery, and the surgeon shows up with a Bowie knife because he prefers a Bowie knife to a scalpel? I know you're not going to like that choice. I know you're not going to feel comfortable about that. I know you're going to worry that this is so bizarre. You might even if you're in a delicate position health-wise, you would forego having a surgeon like that work on you. But this is where we are. A leading nation of the world And we have serious, serious problems, mental problems in the White House. And it's spreading. More and more people are latching on to this way of behavior, using it as their model of behavior and governance. So we're getting worse and worse and worse. I'm asking you the question. In the course of a campaign, even as it starts at the very beginning of a campaign, should we have, in addition to all these polls that people take and to ascertain, you know, the viability of a person's campaign and how much money they have to run a campaign and all of that stuff, should we not have a screening process pertaining specifically to the person's mindset? And mind, just the mind. Is your mind in good shape? Are you logical? Yesterday we had, well, he wanted so badly and still does, Rudy Giuliani wants to be president of the United States. He has right now the next best thing. He could stand close to the president and pretend that he is president. So there was a meeting called, this urgent meeting. The Department of Justice calls this urgent meeting, and the people didn't know what the meeting was for. The meeting has nothing to do with the running of government. The meeting has nothing to do with the day-to-day operations of the United States government. Rudolph Giuliani takes it upon himself to call this meeting, to compel people to attend it. They had to attend it. And at this meeting, they received a very amateurish looking information package that had nothing to do with their jobs, had nothing to do with anything that they normally would do as part of their jobs. But the package had to do with the president's legal situation, explaining in a very confusing way the president's current legal situation, how he's defending himself. And hopefully by reading the contents of the package, which are, again, very amateurish, nobody in their right mind, let alone a lawyer who says he's representing the president. First, we don't know whether he has the authority to do what he did. And he clearly did not have the authority to do what he did. He just swoops in and makes up something that he wants done so that he's important. And it doesn't matter to him whether he's creating an even bigger problem than it already exists. He has no right to do that. And the package contains factually incorrect information. So the charge could easily be made. Here is Rudy Giuliani on his own, because he is now the close to president, he's deciding that this needs to be done to sharpen up the president's defenses among the workers. What kind of insanity is this? People don't know why they got this package. People don't know what they're supposed to do with it. And he finally, although he did not admit that he was the one who did it, he finally admits that, yes, he was the one who did it. Well, what is your authority? Are you the supervisor of these people? Are you now appointed to a new position, the guardian in chief of the president, and you are authorized to do whatever it is you think you need to do to shore up the president's legal defenses. What is this? You're a hired hand. All right. So let's tackle that first. And then we move on to some other topics that we didn't get to. But I wanted to find out from you. Do you not see the acceleration of the dumbed-down mindset that exists in the White House and the crazy things that are happening that the people are supposed to just accept? And indeed we did. There was no objection from Congress, anybody in Congress, about this move. Giuliani has the means to navigate the system as he sees it. He's to be left alone to do what he wants to do, make policy, and do all kinds of things because he's supposedly representing the president. Well, do that in your own office. At your own office, wherever it is. Go there and you do that there. But it's like everybody is going mad and doing what they want to do in this president's term. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. It is insane what is happening and what is being allowed to happen without any kind of, you know, reaction, without anybody saying, hey, don't do that. You're not authorized to do that. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, right?
Good. So what do you think about this? What is happening here? And do you think that part of the requirements for running and keeping office is a psychological evaluation of the candidate?
We get so much information. And we have so much material to go on. We have a diatribe of every week. We got another new. Remember a week and a half ago, he was about to start World War III between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and I called in and said, if you give it a couple of days, they'll be on to something new. And now we're on to the new thing. It's this game that they're playing with us, and we must like to play this game because
right,
we keep playing it with them.
I want to get
Let's
beyond
send 10 million
it. I want
people
to, know,
to Washington.
Do you think that candidates for office at this level must, apart from all the other qualifications that they ought to have, they ought to have undergone psychiatric evaluation?
Of course, because I went for, if you go to get a job in a police department, you got to take all of these tests. You put to like a rigorous thing of all psychological tests, all kinds of things. First of all, you're going to be running for president. You have to have some experience. You don't go from the janitor to the top CEO of the company. And one day you have to go through experience. So why should a person, just because they have lots of money, be allowed to run for the top office? First, you got to start off as an assemblyman or you know, some local office, and then you work your way up like you do in every other job, especially in something as important as the presidency of the United States. So I think the whole thing is ludicrous anyway, and it doesn't make any sense, and that's why I don't value Donald Trump as the president. He's just the mouthpiece for this shadow government that's really in control. And Monday, when you took half an hour of the beginning of the show, 15 minutes for Haiti, and 15 minutes for Puerto Rico. I wish you had taken half an hour for Haiti and half an hour for Puerto Rico and forgot about Trump for a few days, and they'll be on to something new, and then we can get some more information about important things. Why do I have to tune in to PRN to find out what's happening to people in Haiti who need help or in dire need? The mothers have to mix what little flour they have with mud to make cakes for their children to eat because they don't have food. What kind of a ridiculous world are we living in?
Well, the question is this. It is important to do reporting on what is happening that we're not seeing every day. It's important to know what's happening in Haiti. It's important to know what's happening in Puerto Rico.
Exactly. We should be hearing this from NBC.
But you're doing that. But at the same time, you live in a dynamic world where things are happening all over the place all the time. And you can't just lock yourself away and say, well, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to even talk about that subject. We will deal instead with a circumscribed number of issues. That's not the way the world works. And we shouldn't want it to work that way. But anyway, the question is, you agree that there ought to be some kind of psychological evaluation mechanism that at least gives us a clearer picture about this person's mind and how it works, if it works, and how is this person likely to respond to the pressures of the job. You agree with that?
Yes, I agree. That should definitely be done. And I also think that Trump has the right to ask the Ukrainian. I thought that country was called Ukraine in the first place, but now it's just Ukraine. Anyway, I think if Biden had some fishy stuff going on there, so he to benefit his son, I think Trump has the right to find out about it. And since he is the main candidate for president against him, if he wants to find out something early in the game, if something illegal went on, I think it's important that we find that out instead of coming down on Trump.
I agree with that. That was my position. You can't tell me that nothing happened there.
Especially,
nor can anybody tell me,
Trump with his children.
It's Biden. Let other systems take care of that. You see, we are so confused, and we've been doing things wrong for so long. We don't know what is the procedure. We ought to have a procedure. Every place, any job that is worth having, has guidance on what do you do when somebody does something wrong. It's right there. It's a part of a manual. You know, who gets to do what, who investigates, what is the investigation to be about, and so forth. So it's not something that it's a kind of flim-flam way of operating. This is at the highest levels of our government, and they're still acting as like it's a little, you know, a little operation. It isn't. Okay, you got us started today. Thank you so much. Mitch from New York, you're on the air. Thank you so much. Hello, Mitch.
Hello. Hey, Mitch is on the air. Thank you. Yeah. I wonder, would you include pre-diagnosis before they get in office? Because they were all mass murderers. Clinton, Obama.
Well, you're taking this to the extreme.
No,
you were pre-mass murderers. Okay, fine. I understand the point that you're making, but I also appreciate the context in which you're saying it. They did not do these things prior to declaring their candidacies for president. I'm content
but it takes
if
a certain mentality.
You want to run for president of the United States. Great. Good luck to you and everything. In the meantime, we have a panel and you'll be going through a systematic examination to get a sense of your mental acuity, whether you are mentally fit for this job. Do you think that's a good idea or not?
Point. They will all do you. You have to include that before they enter office, and all of them were. You. It takes a certain mentality to say that you're going to sit down at a desk and say you're going to kill this person tomorrow, or we're going to invade this country, and we're going to create, and so many people are going to die, or you don't care. So what type of mentality? Well, I ask you. How does this chess discriminate against who's going to be the killer and who's going to not be killed? All of these guys were mass murderers, and you have to have a certain mentality.
You can't say blindly, all these guys were mass murderers. That makes you a likely target.
Yeah, could be, too. Clinton, Obama went in two countries and destroyed Libya, destroyed thousands of people. Clinton did the same thing.
That's while they were president.
Yeah, well, I go back to you got to have they can do a psychological exam today and tell who's a mass murderer. None of them would be there because they were all mass killers.
No, but you can't do that. And the reason is this. This business of psychological evaluation, we should first admit, it is rather fluid. And we do get very solid indications as to the leanings, what motivates people, what upsets people, how, you know, the reactions that people would have under certain circumstances. But you can't just blindly say they're all murderers.
They were. You have to have a mentality in order to do that.
No.
You have
I'm
to
saying,
have a certain
you know
mentality in order
fact,
to say you're going to go
do
into...
Do you know for a fact that they were all murderers?
When you kill thousands and thousands of people,
don't venture off on a side argument. Do you know for a fact that everybody you categorize as a murderer is in fact a murderer? Do you know that for a fact?
What would they be? What's another definition?
No, don't answer my question with a question. Do you know when you pronounce publicly that all of them are murderers anyway, do you know for a fact that they have killed people? Do you know that for a fact?
They must have had some type of a tendency in their psychological evaluation.
No, you're not answering the question. Do you know for a fact, can you link Barack Obama or anybody else, George Bush, Bill Clinton, could you link them specifically to the death of anybody?
All you got to do is look at statistics. Gee whiz, when you drop thousands of bombs on people, when you go into countries and say, when you go into a...
You can't argue your point because you have no facts. You can't accuse people and casually accuse people, well, they're murderers anyway. No, we are beyond that level of discourse. We are responsible people. Now, you can make a very solid point, but you have to have backup for your point. And I, as the host of the program, would be very careless if I allow you to make a statement like that and say, well, they're all murderers anyway. No. You have to prove it. And if you can't prove it, don't say it. I understand your sentiment, but that doesn't make it right. To just, you just drop a bomb and you're moving on? No, 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 no. You're accusing people of murder. And you have no knowledge of the specifics of that charge. Can you name me somebody specifically murdered by Barack Obama? Or by Bill Clinton? Or George Bush? Or anybody? This does not mean we like them. And this does not mean we overlook the so-called policies that they engendered and that they put in place and that they acted upon that caused a lot of people to die needlessly. But we have to be careful and responsible because this is to protect you. If somebody brought a lawsuit against you, you're dead. You're dead in the water because you can't prove your point. But I get your sentiment. Let me share that with you. Ed from Queens, you're on the air. Should there be a mechanism by which candidates for office, especially the office of President of the United States, should be thoroughly evaluated by the best minds we have, and who should satisfy the public that their evaluation, you know, we can put some faith in their evaluation, however it turns out? Or do you see a problem with that? Ed?
Hello?
It's not there. Oh.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, I can hear you now since you're talking.
Okay. How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. Psychological evaluation for potential presidential and political candidates. I agree with that. But by the same token, we have to start to take politics seriously. And in this country, we don't. Since the 1960s, politics has deteriorated from actual positions and what the job of a politician is, which is basically to serve the people at large, to a cult of personality. We've got people that are making careers off of political celebrity, and that's got to stop. We've got to remove money from politics. We've got to turn politics into a true vocation for public service, as opposed to a vocation for personal wealth increase or personal fame, as it has become, I believe. And then we can establish parameters for politics. There was a joke that I had heard when I was in the days when I was a student. One of my teachers talked about the punishment for political, for want of a better word, political error should be murder. You should be killed when you don't fulfill the mandates of the people as a politician. Because politics should be a vocation. It shouldn't be a auspice for acquiring revenue or acquiring wealth or acquiring fame. It should be a vocation, and your fundamental basic principle should be what is best for the people at large. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
And but shouldn't that be exposed during a screening process?
Yeah,
the guy says he's running for president. Okay, well, you have certain ideas about, well, he had a job before, even if it paid well and so forth. Great. But somebody says, I'm running for president. And you're saying, well, let's check your bank statements. And this president has several accounts all over the place, and his net worth is somewhere between $100 and $150 million.
So they say.
What would become of that person if you were on you're one of the psychiatrists? What would your evaluation be of such a person?
Well, I mean, I can't evaluate you psychologically on the amount of your wealth. I have to look at how you attained it. I'd have to look at your personal character. I'd have to look at the actions that you took to obtain the wealth that you achieved. And look, and then there's an accounting for your sincerity as far as political service. Like I said, we have to change everything. It's a good idea. I'm not arguing with you about the idea, but the whole auspices of politics has to change. We have to become educated, and Americans are not educated in politics. It becomes a cult of personality. Oh, I like this guy. Oh, I like this. From back in the days when Nixon and Kennedy had the debates on television, and Nixon was sweating and this and that. I mean, you know, we've got to get past the surface and really become what is this person going to do for me? Because the bottom line of politics is allocation of resources for the many. And this country
based on all that, I agree with most all that you said. However, apply what you just said to our situation now. How would it work? And where are the spots where it could fail?
Well, I mean, as far as an aptitude test or some type of psychological evaluation, if you were to try to activate a policy or program like that now, first of all, the money would cloud it. I mean, it's far too much money in the game. It's far too much capital that would cloud your judgment. And a psychological evaluation is difficult to maintain. I mean, you can look at the DSM, the DSM-4 back in the 1970s when it first came out. It listed homosexuality as a mental disease or disorder, as a mental disease or defect. Now it doesn't. I mean, there's too much variables in the science of the mind itself to really have some type of protocol or ascertaining rules or ascertaining tests to test a person's veracity, to test a person's psychological ability. I mean, you're talking about a lot of different variables. And like I said, the system, in my opinion, the system is so corrupt that you have to wipe out everything and start from scratch. I mean, it's a good idea, but other things have to be instituted for it to be an effective antidote to having these megalomaniac nut jobs get into office. Anybody with enough money can say, hey, I want to run for president. You know, and they could have some of the most off-the-wall, out-of-cuff ideas in the world. They could have good ideas. But we have to eliminate that monetary factor. Once we eliminate that monetary factor, then we can deal with what is your true vocation? Are you here to serve the people, or are you here to serve yourself?
But is it not unfair to use that particular criterion for a person who has money, but really means to do good, really means to serve the people?
Well, if we can remove the money from the electoral process, you can have money. I'm not saying, but let's make it a fair playing field. Don't let your money, as well as it being an attribute, be a detriment. Don't let your money give you the power to reach more people with a good or bad idea. Don't let your money give you a voice. Just like the founding fathers of this country, the only people that can speak in the House of Congress or the House of Representatives were white landowners. And that land gave you a voice, as opposed to being somebody who worked the land, who had good ideas but didn't have a voice. Don't let what you have give your voice credence or give your voice any power. Donald Trump may be a millionaire, but he's an idiot. But because he has money, you can hear him. If Donald Trump ain't had no money, he'd be another nut screaming on the street in the subway, and you wouldn't pay him no mind. I mean, that's the bottom line. Don't let money qualify your ideas. Let your ideas qualify your ideas. Let your insights qualify who you are, not the fact that your voice can reach more people because you can pay for it.
All righty. I'm sure people will react to your statements. Thanks so much for contributing, Ed. Khalil from South Carolina, you're on the air. Should we have a system, or should we include in the system we currently have some way of qualifying a candidate for president before he becomes president or she becomes president by trying to ascertain their psychological orientation? How are they likely to function? How are they likely to adjust to the pressures of the office? Are they likely to cause confusion as we have now? What exactly is their mindset? Do you think it's a good idea?
I think it should be mandatory. I mean, there are positions within the government that require a psychological battery of screenings as part of the employment process. Why not president? And so that's a good, first of all, that's a great question. And yes, because, you know, we've made a lot of advances in the mental health field in the past 25 years. Not the least of which is the PUFF test, and that would deal with some of the older folks because that's a direct measure of someone's acuity in terms of you know, are they senile, or is there some type of Alzheimer's dementia happening? But yes, because now we can do a lifetime MRI, which would show if there are diseased areas in the brain, which would lead to more testing. But the fact that we don't is alarming because that just opens the door to have a leader who is a puppet that can be manipulated and make rash and terrible decisions like we're dealing with now. And I would like to know why are people in power not listening to the mental health community? They've spoken out already. You know, this is that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, we
should not be surprised. I mean, if people are like, oh, I don't know, Donald Trump, he's acting, his behavior is erratic. It's like, well, of course it's erratic. He's, you know, it's not just that he has one or two mental health disorders. Because on top of his mental health disorders, he has negative personality traits. You know, he engages in negative and antisocial behaviors constantly. I'm not going to go into the litany, but, you know, everyone in the mental health community knew this early on. You know, you could see it a mile away. You know, but everybody, I don't know, should we say something? I don't know. We just have to see how it plays out. So finally someone, you know, Dr. Lee got the courage up, and then she got some compatriots who signed on with her, and she's released at least she's written at least two books on it and gotten a panel together at least three times on this. But, you know, that's after the fact. But, yes, I don't understand why it's not. And in addition, the Electoral College has failed us because the way our system is set up, they're a safety valve when someone is not fit, no matter how many votes you get.
So if we were to take the current situation, how do you see it applying to Trump as president?
Retroactively?
No, right now.
Well, right now, it's very apparent that what would have to happen, it's complicated now because Pence is implicated in some of this illegality. But actually, people have been dissecting the 25th Amendment now. And I think it's Section 4, and it calls for a committee. So if a small committee were commissioned, I think that might be able to circumvent the vice president's involvement because there's one way to invoke the 25th Amendment that requires the vice president, and then the president would say, no, I'm perfectly sane, and it would bounce back to the vice president. But there's another way to do that through a small committee. But it just seems people are unwilling to just state the obvious. That's the first thing. It's like if you see this massive abscess tooth and people are like, I don't know, it might not be an abscess tooth. That's like, but you see his mouth is stinky and he's got this big open sore and come on. You know, these people are playing games. These people, his meltdown yesterday, I just could not believe what I was seeing. You know, and once again, Nancy Pelosi knows what's going on because she used the I word some time ago. She said, well, there needs to be an intervention. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That's what we need, an intervention.
right now.
Well, how soon should this start, if you think that this is a good idea? In the next election cycle?
Oh, no, yes. Well, right. So what would have to happen now, right, is that it has to be public education on the Constitution and how to form this committee that would make these recommendations and then move forward. But in addition, with this educational push, it would seem like maybe a constitutional amendment, which is very difficult. But we don't ever want to be in this situation again, I don't think.
Now, how would you square this argument to the public? The idea is to head off the possibility that you have a very unstable president elected. But the people, nevertheless, make the choice. So if you're making a recommendation, or if you are pretty much diagnosing or making a pronouncement as a professional in the healthcare field that is averse or is seen to be averse to the people's popular choice, do you become an agent of destroying democracy?
I love your debating skills. So that's an excellent point, because this is where the lifetime MRI comes in. Because it used to be something we would call black box psychology, where you had to make inferences from people's behavior, which most of the time works, but all the time doesn't. However, with the lifetime MRI, one can readily see, even a layperson can see, necrosis in the brain. You know, dead areas of tissue where they're supposed to be alive and well and the blood is supposed to be flowing. And it clearly shows that there's mental deterioration. There's no way that one can function normally when you have these dark areas where it's supposed to be light. It comes up clearly in the MRI scan. And that's the start. And say, well, this individual cannot possibly be functioning well with 38% of his brain has been deteriorated. And you add that to the aberrant behavior. And I understand what you're saying, because as we hear all the time, well, that's our president. We voted for him. That's what we wanted.
Yeah.
That's what, right. Okay, so you have to fight against that. But if you can show in black and white to lay people and explain, well, no, that's fine. You made your vote. We understand that. But this individual is incapacitated. And you may like this person's ideas, but, no, I'm sorry. But, look, everyone is not born with the same set of intellectual tools. You have to listen to the doctor sometimes. You can't go to the witch doctor with bones and say, well, he might cure me. Sometimes you need penicillin. And it hurts. I'm sorry. This is serious business. It's not just us. This is the whole world we're dealing with. We are embarrassed on the world stage. We had company yesterday, and he's worried about his personal problems.
Yes, who happened also to be a president of a country that values, this kind of information. Who is heading up our country? Who is ruling our country? And we ought to be very much involved in that. We have to find a way.
Wow.
Thanks so much, Khalil, for your call and for participating today. Jose from Rosedale, you're on the air.
Greetings, my professor. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
Fine. I'm hanging in there. Now, in regards to the topic at hand, I think it's a start in the right direction. But, seeing that we're not living in an ideal world, anything that you propose and you're depending on the powers that be to make the necessary changes, it's going to be tainted. Everything the system touches is tainted. It has been tainted from its inception because it was not designed to do what you are thinking it should do, to have checks and balances, to prevent these sick souls from becoming leaders of the free world. Now, you're asking psychiatrists and psychologists who will also be tainted, because many of them will be, they will have their ideology and their folks that they choose to go with. And the green elephant in the room, as some of your callers have referred to, the green elephant, the thing called money, which will taint even Jesus Christ. If he was down here dealing with us, he would have been so corrupt that it ain't funny. Because money has a way of corrupting everybody. All right?
All right. I want to bring you back to the central point.
Yes?
Is it a good idea? Should we have a system where no matter who is in the race for president, they should be able to satisfy the requirements of a psychological screening and would be held as being trustworthy in that regard, that they have a pretty good and solid brain?
But first, we have to have confidence in the folks that are going to do the screening. And therein lies the problem.
We're not there yet. We're not discussing the logistics of the actual operation.
But
how you select people who will sit on the screening panel and so forth. I'm asking simply about reacting to the idea of it. Is it an idea whose time has come?
It's an idea whose time is way past. It's been long gone. It's been should been here a long time ago. But you know, as one of your callers said a while back, we tend to discuss matters that we seem to have no control over. No matter, we could discuss it until the chickens come home to roost. We have no control over it. My point is, as the brother that called a few calls back, here is it, we have an issue in our region, and I'm showing how impotent we are as a people to deal with that, and now we're talking about an issue that we will never have any control over that. The issue of Haiti, the Haitian people are being castigated and dumped on, all manner of evil being done to the people of Haiti. In the Caribbean region, so many have died in this hurricane. And the country of Haiti has been so bombarded, it has been invaded by the U.S., all manner of things being done to Haiti.
But wait a minute, I really have to rein you in. We got to stick to the subject. You're now talking about Haiti, which is a whole other subject. We're dealing with this question of how do we reasonably assure, or should we, or legally can we assure that the person who emerges from a presidential race, therefore, is the person who's entitled to head up this government? Or should we have a different twist to this, because we're seeing over and over again how damaged our current president is and the results of that in terms of how the country is run?
The sickest and craziest president we have ever had. And I have a funny feeling that we're going to have more as we go along. This, what you're talking about, is a good idea, but I'm telling you, we don't have the means of implementing that. The people that has the power to do so would not agree with such a program put in place, because they have their own agenda, and their agenda and ours are different. That's my point.
I understand all of that. I get all of that. I'm just trying to get the basic issue addressed, whether people think it's time that we implement, or we have some way of implementing a way to gauge the psychological stability of the person who will be the head of state.
I'm not going to beat a dead horse to death. I agree with you that it is a step in the right direction. But how do we implement it when the powers that be don't want such a program to be implemented? It works for them. The system works for them. It's not working for us.
But that's another discussion. We will try that discussion. Hopefully we can do that soon. We have to take pieces of it at a time. And that brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you so much for contributing and for listening. And tomorrow, of course, is Free Your Mind Friday. If you wish, bring it up again and let's see where it goes. Thanks again. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.